Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGBM, Bozeman Community Radio, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgbm.org. And it's time for Desert Oracle Radio Replay, and I'm Roxana. On June 16th, 2025, Ken Lane looked at all the things he was witness to where he lives in California. Today, he gives us that view with all the insights of his past experience as a journalist. Here is Deployment from 29 Palms.
Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. Strange times in the old Bear Republic, the state of California. Where I happened to be, out by the 29 Palms Marine Corps base, when the news of the rumored deployment hit the Morongo Basin, very exciting. In a place that doesn't make the news too much. I'm close enough to the base to see the eerie flare drops on moonless nights now and then. Sometimes I'll be out walking on a summer night in these little mountains, the Little San Bernardino Mountains being the official name for these charming desert foothills. And I'll spot a couple of the flares and get myself in a good position to watch them drop and light up, making these bright constellation patterns low in the twilight sky. And beneath them, there are hundreds or maybe thousands of Marines engaged in wild war games with tanks and dust clouds and air cover and combat ground troops, just crazy stuff. The dust rising in columns and columns in the light, the rough terrain and the dry lake bed, the confusion of radio chatter, the madness and excitement. From around this desert Marine Corps base on this early summer night, I heard the same rumors we all did out here of troop carriers, buses, full of Marines with full kit ready to go. And deeply annoyed to be called back early on a Saturday night. I heard that from Oceanside, too. Well, that's when I got to know the Marines a little bit, the Marine Corps. I was a newspaper reporter, you know, for a couple of decades, a long time. And the newspaper where I worked the longest was the old Blade Citizen, formerly the Evening Blade Tribune, the powerful daily paper in Oceanside, California. And the whole coastal North County, the north part of San Diego County. Your beat was your assigned subject matter, city hall, or high school sports, or the school district, or the Oceanside Police Department. And one of my beats at the Daily Blade Citizen, circa 1990, was Camp Pendleton. I was on that base all the time. I did features on lonely Marine wives. I did a Christmas story about lonely Marine wives. another story on lonely Marine wives during the Marine Corps deployment to Saudi Arabia for the first U.S.-Iraq war. And at some point, they gave me the plum position of City Hall San Diego County politics reporter, along with my talented and tenacious comrade, Bobby Joe Lee. And then the Iraq War starts, the nerve of that Colin Powell, right after I was done with the beat. Of course, I wanted to go. I'm a young romantic reporter at the time, but I have to wait my turn because my successor on the Camp Pendleton beat, my friend Phil Deal, had first dibs, obviously, on the Saudi in bed trip. So he went. But I got set up to go on the next round, the next hometown press flight to Saudi. Got my travel vaccinations and crazy full-page Saudi press visa with the gold foil and etc. And then George Bush Sr. and Norman Schwarzkopf, Storm and Norman, decided to turn back and end the war just like that. At least that's what we were told. Goodbye, Baghdad. Goodbye before we got there. People back home in the States hardly had a minute to plan the protest and the burning of various things. It was that fast. It all went by so fast, it was like a dream, a bad dream for some people, certainly people on the receiving end of the U.S. coalition's arms. It went by so fast that within a year or so, the American public had mostly forgotten about it. And they forgot that they supported it, and they forgot that they supported the president at the time, President George H.W. Bush. And so by 1992, that election in November, he was out of there. And I was out of Oceanside by then. I was in Central Europe. I believe I was working in Prague at that point. So I did not go to Saudi Arabia. Not yet, anyway. I do plan to go someday, possibly with some sort of esoteric caravan. With camels, you know, to the moon festival somewhere in the Arabian desert. The secret thing. The last mystery. But that's not for public disclosure. From what little I know about it, I know I am not supposed to mention it at all.
Desert Oracle Radio.
Because of the civil unrest in Los Angeles County this month, and Paramount and Compton and etc., the rumor was that the Marines were shipping out or busing out from both 29 Palms and Camp Pendleton to back the National Guard, which was sent in response to a very long weekend of provocative behavior, you could say. And these rumors turned out to be true. I was far away from Southern California when those pictures started coming out. I love when the pictures of an event come out because everybody rushes online onto social media to make sure to describe the pictures or anything really that ever happens according to their personal politics. In this way, you're never surprised by anyone because you know their personal politics because they never shut up about it. I was less concerned with various online spectators and their personal political views than I was by the look of the protesters. I watched the video of that guy on a hot dirt bike. Number 77 was its race number. The guy who was driving around in circles around a burning car at an intersection off the 110, I believe. And that guy was wearing all new, brand new clothes. You can see the creases in the pants. You can see the Nikes are brand new, the soles without stain or scuff. It looks like he's wearing body armor too, if you remember the picture I'm talking about. One of those ultralight bulletproof vests. And there's what seems to be an obvious holster on his left hip. His face is covered by a mask. His head is covered by an anonymous blue ball cap. He rides in circles around the burning car in the middle of the intersection of Atlantic Avenue and East Alondra Boulevard in Compton, which is right off the 710. Well, that's Dale's Donuts in the background of the videos and pictures of the masked man riding a dirt bike in circles around the burning sedan. And he's also competently brandishing a flagpole with a fairly large Mexican flag waving majestically behind him as the great column of black smoke pours out of the burning car. Afterwards, everyone poses for pictures like family portraits. And there's a long line of LAPD patrol cars parked behind them, beneath the giant donut. It's like a clip from The Simpsons. It's too much. Well, everybody online seemed to want a historic wave of urban riots. And I don't think that's generally good for anyone. It took until early this century for a lot of the city blocks that burned in the 1960s to ever come back at all. And some never did. Some were all but abandoned once the fires were put out. Or maybe a few years later. The great cities of America bombed and burned from within. Very strange. Some parts of LA County never came back after the Rodney King riots. Although many living in Silver Lake and Echo Park today have no memory, no idea that the great wave of fire and violence from those 1992 riots crashed right up to Sunset Boulevard and occasionally over it. Those 1992 riots in the Los Angeles area ended up having a large impact way out here in the high desert. 3 hours away by car, if you're lucky. maybe 5 hours on a Friday afternoon when the weather's good, which it is now and then, 2 or 3 times a year up here. The population boom, such as it was in Yucca Valley, which is very apparent from the age of the housing stock, was in large part caused by the civil unrest, by the fires, by the burning, by the natural disasters such as the Northridge quake, and then the recession, the peace dividend from the USSR collapsing. All of that sent a wave of early retirees to a place that back then was cheap, relatively cheap, and felt like it was very safe from the routine nightmares visited upon LA, the city of quartz. You're listening to Desert Oracle Radio with soundscapes by Red, Blue, Black, Silver. And I am Ken Lane, host and... what else? The other things. And you can hear us on Friday nights in the high desert on Joshua Tree Zone Z107.7 FM, KCDZ in the Morongo Basin. And there's a podcast, too. Oh, and we're on YouTube now, too, if you like to look at a computer screen while the podcast plays. Some people like that. As for the various troubles in the cities, it's all sort of academic to me these past decades out on the desert. Yes, even in Joshua Tree, they roll out a few seniors for the local protest every couple of weekends, which is fine. It's good to get outside and talk to people now and then. But for the most part, beyond the rare event like buses full of Marines departing 29 Palms, there's little evidence, which I guess is true in most of the cities, too. I've been in New York when huge protests were happening, international headline news. But go to the museums on the Upper East Side along Central Park and you'd never know. You'd never know within the quiet gardens of the cloisters or dining outside in Nolita or in the financial district towers where fortunes are made and lost from our grossest national product, which is debt. Everybody's in debt, every organization, every individual in one way or another. There are billionaires with more debt than they have assets. And there are millennials in debt for charging their burrito bowl lunch deliveries. It gets us all these days. But one day not too far in the future, oh, I hear the whistle blowing. I hear the Jubilee train a-rolling. Or maybe that's just the sirens. Well, A listener from San Diego writes, "Dear Desert Oracle, I was walking along the beach at La Jolla Shores in April, and I thought I saw you in a kayak, but I wasn't sure, and you were just rowing out. If that was you, hello. I went to one of your shows in San Diego at the Whistle Stop Bar." And the postcard is signed Olivia, which is a pretty name, from Latin for olive tree. A dignified and beautiful tree and the economic engine of ancient Greece. Anyway, thanks for the postcard, Olivia, and yes, I love to take a sea kayak out whenever I can. Even though I've lived in the desert for much of my life, mostly in a desert without even a creek with enough water for a rowboat or inner tube now and then, the truth is there's nothing as physically and emotionally satisfying to me as rowing upon the sea. Rivers are good, lakes are all right. But to be on the sea, on the seashore with the pelicans and the salt breeze, when given a choice and when the geography works out, that's my pick. I haven't done it often enough. It's never been a daily routine beyond a few vacations. But whenever is possible, I get in a kayak, whatever kind. Launching and landing, that's my favorite. But the whole thing activates a glorious ancient feeling. Rowing onto the beach, the people scattering and screaming, the sudden enormous waves breaking on the sand. A confusion of mist and chaos, squawking seagulls. It was rough out there. It was rough launching, it was rough coming in. That was 2 months ago now. It's been too long. Early spring. Oh, remember that? There was a full moon in the afternoon. Very aggressive tide. Strange winds. Just getting into the water was wonderfully violent. I was soaked by the breakers before we even got out. The usually calm La Jolla Cove waters were wine dark and wild. Dolphins were cresting and pelicans skim the growing swells. It was too early to see those Arizonans leaping off the cliffs into the cove like in summertime. And there was a marine research ship bobbing out there in the protected marine life preserve, sampling the red tide and the Mexican sewage and the toxic runoff from the Pacific Palisades and Altadena fires. And there were a couple of tour groups out there headed for the La Jolla Sea Caves, but prohibited from entering. You can't go in the caves in such heavy weather. The waves will smash you right up against the cave walls, the cave ceilings. And then you're nothing but food for the crabs, shredded to bits. Well, maybe that's my final retirement, if such a thing ever arrives. Not shredded to bits to feed the crabs, not right away. But on some rocky little isle, maybe a half mile offshore, protecting the ruins of the Templar Keep, the secret temple, is a job, a duty, until you die. The little island is some special protectorate under the law of the sea, ancient contracts. The sacred text of the nine. so that if anyone shows up trying to get into the old stone tower, well, they too will become food for the crabs. Nobody gets inside or beneath without explicit invitation. Some days the seas are just too rough to get around in a little kayak. The fresh provisions will last the week, it's fine. There's enough to last for months if necessary, dry goods, all the fish you can catch. Drinking water comes from the rain barrels because it rains plenty out here on the secret island. But if you want the delicious things, the comforts of the world, fresh food, wine and whiskey, a copy of the newspaper, well, you've got to row to the village, half a nautical mile of open sea to the inlet, and then you follow that for another mile, ideally with the tides in your favor. Have an early dinner at the village pub, so you're back on the island before nightfall. Rowing back with a grilled trout and a half carafe of red blend, soothing your belly and cheering your soul. You pass the last of the fishing boats coming in. Old Mr. Lewis with his pipe and his wool cap, he looks like his picture should be on a box of fish sticks. You wave. He nods. From Amboy to Zyzix and across the vast Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio. Now, you've heard the soundscapes on this program are by Red, Blue, Black, Silver, and it's the truth. You can look him up on Bandcamp, and you can buy his digital releases. I think you can get like 10 albums for $25 or something last time I looked. Our website is DesertOracle.com and the Patreon page is Patreon.com/DesertOracle. Thanks much to those of you who send a little money this way in support of the show. Now, I was on the road the last couple of weeks and I did not manage to get an episode written and produced before I left. And then I had various misadventures and wound up racing back to deal with some ultimately meaningless minor problems, the continuing crisis. But then, my biggest Joshua tree was toppled by the wind on a very hot and windy day. But I'm still sort of in shock. So it goes. Good night from the voice of the desert.
It's the bottom of the hour, and you are listening to Desert Oracle Radio Replay, broadcasting on KGVM, Bozeman Community Radio, at 95.9 FM, and streaming online at kgvm.org. This next one might have you thinking about Bozeman, the farmers market, and the Gallatin Valley in general. See what you think. From June 22nd, 2018, here is A Voice Crying in the Wilderness.
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the Mojave. Greetings from this hot and dry desert, where the rain is rare and the people are weird. Especially out here around Joshua Tree and Landers and Wonder Valley. It's like some great monster, some great titan, picked up the Los Angeles basin and sort of gently shook it towards the east, towards the desert, so all the flakes would drift out and settle out here amongst the creosote. People do embrace their eccentricities out here, which is fine. Plenty of room. Wear your weirdness like a cape, I suppose. That's all a performance of a sort. We are social animals, after all, whether we like it or not. I hardly ever go to the local farmer's market, not because I don't enjoy the nice organically grown produce, but because it's held in the bright, hot midday, when many desert creatures prefer to burrow down, hunker down in their nice, cool, dark dens. But I did go a week or so back, and it had been a while, and boy, I haven't seen people so dressed up for the farmer's market since I lived in Silver Lake. They had feathered sun hats and accoutrements of every sort, enough crystals hanging off some of the ladies to build a couple dozen of those Heathkit radios, high-heeled sandals, cowboy boots, turquoise bracelets, caftans, and parasols. Now, the boys were decked out in their own way, of course. Some were sporting their best nylon sandals with the sporting labels. Some had lovely long beards and big Farrah Fawcett sunglasses and all kinds of hats, too. From those old-fashioned trucker caps from the recession to bejeweled boleros. Oh, it was like the Easter parade. Like an Easter parade based off some 1970s Fleetwood Mac publicity photos and the REI catalog. What a scene. And there were still some vegetables and fruits for sale, which was good. But you do have to get through a gauntlet of scented candles and sage sticks and mystic card readers and various sorts of home decor. I mean, the place was so packed with people and cars and, of course, dogs. Can't make an appearance without the slobbering dogs. Well, it was so packed you would think they were giving away henna tattoos or something. Just a busy scene. Very friendly and sociable, all in all. You'd have to be a real crank to complain about something of the sort. The desert has not always been so welcoming, of course. Even the dusty little desert towns around Joshua Tree, which are all fairly modern inventions, there's not a town around here that's even 100 years old, and it took until the end of World War II for Joshua Tree to claim all of 300 residents. Most of them up around Sunfair, around a big turkey farm. Turkeys outnumbered humans about 100-1. Some things never change. But by the early 1950s, nearly all those people left. You try farming in a sand pit with no water and constant high-altitude solar radiation and hurricane winds. But over time, a handful of people settled in to serve the handful of weekend tourists who took the bad road from Los Angeles to visit the new Little National Monument. Eventually, some Laurel Canyon hippies and rock musician types began to appreciate the area in the 1960s and early 70s, and it became a low-rent hideout for biker gangs and sex offenders and other oddballs and outlaws. And now Airbnbs outnumber the oddballs. So it goes. The desert is an easy place to live at the moment, for the moment. Swamp coolers keep you comfortable in the summertime. There's satellite TV and Wi-Fi and video games and water piped right to your kitchen. Good roads, pretty good roads. Some of them are even paved. A high-speed death trap highway runs right through town. 15,000 Republican senior citizens in Yucca Valley, along with a Walmart and 15 dog groomers and a dozen hearing aid shops. Whatever you need. Whatever you need, as long as it's the same junk people need in every other exurban, halfway rural town on the American Sunbelt. And if your tastes are more refined, well, you've got Phoenix and Las Vegas and Palm Springs, golf courses with acres of rich green English lawn, steakhouses and craft cocktail bars, fancy shopping streets where you can get outfitted for the year-round summer, and then promenade around in your pink golf polo and your pressed yellow slacks, take a spin in the golf cart, over to the clubhouse for club sandwiches and a pitcher of mimosas. Oh, it's the good life. Especially if you live in one of those senior suburbs where the trashy young people can't come around with their hippity-hop and gender benders and socialism. Time will cure them of all that nonsense, and anyway, the world won't even be here when those people are 55 and up. Not that they could afford a Del Webb Merlot floor plan, one-level rambler facing the green. Well, it might not sink in if you're enjoying a good meal on El Paseo in Palm Desert, which I certainly like to do now and again, but the word desert does not mean a resort destination. The word is Greek in origin, and it means wilderness, the wild land, the place you cannot cultivate, a place of blistering temperatures and howling winds, craggy rocks and impassable sand dunes and spiky plants, wolves and wild dogs, bandits and desperados, the place nobody goes on purpose. The place where society's criminals were banished to. The land of no return. If you want a good idea of what people in the ancient world thought about the desert, what the Hebrews and the Mesopotamians and Egyptians and Greeks and Romans thought about the desert, an opinion that carried through with the Christianization of Europe and the Americas. Well, just take a look at how the desert is portrayed in the Bible. There's not a Pappy and Harriet's or a bachelorette spa party in sight, not in the harsh, wild land of those times. Like in Isaiah 20, the burden of the desert of the sea, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it cometh from the desert, from a terrible land. Grievous vision is declared unto me, the treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. And there's this threat against the great city of Babylon from Isaiah 13. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their fold there. The wild animals of the desert will make it their home. The houses will be haunted by howling creatures. Ostriches will live there, and demons will come there to dance. That sounds kind of like one of those music festivals we have up here. somebody's going to start walking an ostrich around the farmer's market. It can't be far off now. Psalm 28:4. Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert. The desert was punishment then, like it was for those paroled child molesters the LA County Sheriff's bus used to drop off in Flamingo Heights in the 90s. And when one of the biblical prophets really wanted to get fantastic, really overpromise, well, they generally start making crazy promises about how the miserable desert would be turned into a green paradise. Kind of like the way those real estate mobsters promoted Las Vegas in the 40s. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. Now that's Isaiah 2. Isaiah was kind of a nut about the desert. You know that voice crying in the wilderness line? That's also Isaiah. You know, I bet Isaiah actually liked the desert. I mean, I'm no biblical scholar, but you sort of give yourself away when you can't ever stop talking about a particular thing. Jeremiah 2:6. Neither said they, "Where is the Lord that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through and where no men dwelt?" Imagine if they had Airbnbs in Jeremiah's time. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus attempts to go into the desert to get some peace and quiet. And he goes across the sea by boat, but the people follow on foot. So he heals the sick and etc. And then in Matthew 14:15, "And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, 'This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the village and buy themselves victuals.'" That means food. It's uncanny how much the desert of the Gospels is like Joshua Tree today, where you still can't really get any food. Mark 6:31 is one I've always liked, especially the first line. "And he said unto them, 'Come ye selves apart into a desert place and rest a while.'" And we go back to the Old Testament, to Hebrews 11:37 through 39. They were stoned. They were sown asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Thing about the desert anywhere is that it can go back to a biblical wasteland in a flash, like it did for the advanced civilization some 1,000 years ago in what is now Phoenix, Arizona. climate change, the rivers dried up. One day you've got hundreds of miles of canals and farms and big ceremonial temples and comfortable houses and beautiful pottery. And next thing you know, there are a few stragglers left behind eating the dead bodies of their neighbors and relations. Cannibalism. Boom. It happened all over the American desert, all over this desert. When the European colonizers arrived, they found abandoned cliff houses in the Four Corners, the remains of what appeared to be comfortable civilizations. What happened? The stragglers and the newcomers hanging around did not know. They'd come afterwards. They called the vanished people the old ones. Gone, just gone. It'll happen again. It's happening right now. Ask the water engineers, the water agencies, the people fighting over an ever-shrinking Colorado River, an ever-shrinking Sierra snowpack. Warmer winters, hotter summers. Ask the biologists. Ask the historians. Whether you live low on the coast or high in the desert, your time is at hand. Our time is at hand. We can howl into the wilderness, God help us all, but we've done it to ourselves. We are the architects of our destruction. Now, here's something you should notice. As dry as it's been, the Scots Orioles have come back. These are beautiful yellow and black birds. They come for the summer and they cheer up in these hot, dusty days with that lovely song of theirs. And the Gamble's quail, of course. And you can see the big male there standing on the rock and hear the nervous chatter below. Oh, it's beautiful out here. Hot as hell, but pretty as a picture. And when it gets hot, you hardly see any other people. And that's a beautiful thing. People are all right in moderation. Nobody likes to sit in an empty bar or an empty diner. You figure there's something wrong with the kitchen. But out here in the desert, oh, it's nice when it's deserted. It's nice when it's down to a few hardy souls and a few crazy European tourists. Sure hope we don't find a bunch of dead bodies out here this year, this summer. But every year I hope, and every year people die out here anyway. A couple at least. That's a shame. It hasn't even really gotten too hot yet. We've already had a couple of near tragedies. We had the girl who fell and broke her hip. out rock hopping alone. Luckily, she was found and recovered. Recovered well enough that she's worried about who will pay the hospital bills. That's when you know your brain is working about normal in America. And then there was the 73-year-old in poor health who walked out there, I believe, in Lost Horse Valley. Everybody just about given up on him, and he showed up alive and fairly well, considering. Well, I hope your summer walks are good. I hope you use some common sense. Drink enough water. Bring enough water. Wear a hat in the sun. And if you don't know where you're going, maybe tell somebody where you think you're headed. Happy solstice. Hello, welcome to Desert Oracle Radio.
Well, Ken, it's the program director. How are you?
This is Gary at the station?
Yes, it is, Ken. I just want to congratulate you on a really successful first season. It has exceeded everybody's expectations. We just love it. We're happy to be the home of the Oracle here in the desert. But, Ken, I got to tell you, I think we need to make some changes.
Some changes to Desert Oracle Radio.
Yeah, and Oracle Radio is, you know, kind of got this whole weird vibe. I think we need to localize it, just really hyper-localize it. And I got some ideas for you.
Well, sure, you're the program director. Okay.
Well, here's some of the things how we can localize the Oracle. How about a plant of the week? Now, everybody talks about Joshua trees and, you know, those famous plants, but there's some other plants, like that mustard thing they talk about. Some other plants that we could be talking more about, like public education. There's animals. Animals of the week. Too. Everybody talks about them bighorn sheep and coyotes, but there's some little critters too. They're little cute little dotty things that run. I think we should talk about them too, instead of that, you know, kind of weird stuff. And then, Ken, I got another idea here. You know, during the day here at the station, we do what's something called Cruising Critters. It's Lost Pets. Well, I think we should start doing the Oracle version of Lost Pets. We can give you a list of, you know, 10 or 20 Lost Pets. You can just run through those on the Oracle, and we'd be doing a public service too, and getting the Oracle to be a little bit more, you know, grounded and normal, okay?
Oh, that's a nice idea. You know, we only have a half-hour program.
Just read really, really fast. Yeah, not a problem. You have 5 seconds on 20 animals. That's only 100 seconds. Just really, really happy with the show. The only feedback we get here at the station is people call sometimes and say, what is that weird thing that's going on Friday night? We say, well, that's the Oracle. They sound a little puzzled, but that seems to make them happy.
I tell you, Gary, I certainly appreciate you giving us a chance here, and it's great to be on community radio. And you send us some pets, and I'll try to get some pets on, and hopefully
I can remember localize.
Localize, yes, indeed. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much.
We'll talk to you. We'll talk to you maybe next season.
From Amboy to Zizix and across the Great Mojave Wilderness, this is Desert Oracle Radio, broadcasting on KCDZ 107.7 FM in Joshua Tree and the whole high desert. Thanks to Gary Danielle and Sarah Snyder and everybody at Z107.7 for having Desert Oracle Radio on the air. Oh, it's a nice thing to pick it up on a Friday night driving across the desert. Visit DesertOracle.com. You can find out about our Pocket Field Guide. That is Desert Oracle, the magazine. $25 for 4 issues mailed to your cabin or P.O. box. And you can find out about the musical tracks made for this program by Red, Blue, Black, Silver here in Joshua Tree. Look him up on the internet and you'll learn about his science fiction music podcast. That's Red, Blue, Black, Silver and the spooky soundtrack he composed for our friend Jeremy Corbell's new feature documentary film, Hunt for the Skinwalker. You can order a CD version of that soundtrack. We've got the links on our website, desertoracle.com/radio. Friday night, July 13, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., why don't you come on down to the Valley Bar in downtown Phoenix for Desert Oracle Radio live on stage with musical guests, the Boxhead Ensemble. We're planning to have some good stuff. We're going to have our friend Jason P. Woodbury to help out. Apparently, Brendan Mays will be there to cause problems. And we will have Graveyard Tales from Jenny Russell. Our friends at Aquarium Drunkard are presenting this show along with Valley Bar, July 13, $8 at the door. You're going to have a good time. And our first long season of Desert Oracle Radio has come to a close for the summer. I will not be lounging around too much. I will have something interesting for Popula.com launching next week, a short weekly radio sermon. We'll put the details on Twitter and Instagram and etc. next week, and we'll be back with more Desert Oracle Radio in the fall, so I'll wish a tolerable summer to you all. Hopefully things will be a little better when we meet again in a few months, a little less apocalyptic. Thanks for listening, and good night from the Voice of the Desert.
Remember that last one is a classic episode, so any events Ken mentioned are long in the past. Kind of like time traveling. Well, my thanks to Ken Lane and Red, Blue, Black, Silver for sharing their work on Desert Oracle Radio so generously. Thank you for listening and supporting KGVM. I'd like to hear more UFO or ghost town stories from you. If you have one, you can leave me a voicemail at 406-404-6246. And be sure to leave me word of how to get back to you. This program is broadcast on the air at 95.9 FM Bozeman Community Radio, and it streams online at kgbm.org at 7 Sunday nights and 9 Monday mornings. Our past Desert Oracle Radio replay episodes are also available on demand on the kgbm.org website. I'll be back next week with more desert and mountain lore for you. Till then, keep doing good things, stay well, and sweet dreams. See you next week.